The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who sends us out. Amen. Now, I'm standing here, and I'm usually standing there. And I'm usually standing there because I'm a manuscript preacher, and I'm a manuscript preacher because if I weren't, I would take twice as long to say half as much, and I know this to be true, and I don't want to waste your time. So even when I stand here, I wish I were one of those preachers who could walk around and just do it, but I still have to have this here. I have a question. Have we been counted yet today? What's our number?
56.
Last week we were 57. Summertime is always that way. People travel to see family. Some people are at God's astonishing beaches. Patrick is today taking care of his father. My daughter isn't here because she is in an online class in the summer, and the only time her class could meet online with a Skype was 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. She said, "I guess I won't be at worship." So our average worship attendance in June was 70. Our average worship attendance in May was 80, and that included Confirmation Day. In April, well, we got Easter in there with 150 people on a Sunday, so that skews our numbers a little bit. But March, 80, average worship attendance. So I know I don't always ask you to speak out, and some of us are lifelong Lutherans who can barely do it. But how do those numbers make you feel? Sad. What was the average attendance when you were in the building? Emmanuel Lutheran was in the building on Main Street. Do you know? Can you guess? The church was full, so whatever that number was. Right? And I suppose you didn't move here and build a smaller building, so certainly this would have at least the same capacity. So are you longing for a return to that? I am. When I was a kid, the pews were full. we were building bigger sanctuaries. We were having multiple services every Sunday morning. Not just because some people like this kind of music and some people like that music. We had too many people to fit in one room at one time. Every call committee that I have ever heard of is looking for someone who will grow their congregation. I don't suppose that was any different for me 3 years ago. So far, I've done a bang-up job. So we haven't really grown in numbers in 3 years. I am convicted that we have grown in other ways because I've been here to witness deepening relationships, scripture and prayer and faith formation in really important ways. But 80 people or 70 people on a Sunday doesn't make us feel good, and it sounds like maybe we don't measure up. Maybe we don't measure up to the past. Maybe we don't measure up to our dreams. And on those big Sundays like Easter and Christmas and Confirmation Day, when the room is full and we are shoulder to shoulder without a lot of space between us and no one gets their own pew, and Ford can open up the organ when we have an organ and he can play as loud as he wants because there are enough voices singing in harmony to fill every nook and cranny in this room. We just love how that feels. And then maybe the next Sunday feels a little bit, well, it feels like scarcity. It doesn't feel like abundance like those nights feel like or those days feel like. Someone says, how many people at your church on a Sunday? 70. I know that you feel this way. Some of you have just shared it, but we've had these conversations, you and I. So we ask Jesus, what are you going to do with a small little church that used to be a large church, which in some ways feels inadequate and wants to do your will and needs some direction? So we read in Luke today, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Whatever house you enter, he said, first say, peace to this house. And whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. Now, there is another sermon to be had about the parts of this text that are difficult to hear, like being sent out as lambs, sort of to the slaughter, right? Or shaking the dust off your sandals if people won't accept you. Those are important parts for us to attend to another day. But today, I want us to hear that Jesus had 70 people. He gave them the power to heal and to preach, and he had them go together. He asked them to be vulnerable to others. Rely on other people's hospitality. Don't take anything with you. And they came back saying, Lord, it worked. Even the demons submit to us in your name. So are we only 70? Or are we 70? Are we 70 people gathered and empowered by God to bring Christ's message of peace to a terrified world? If I were to start a committee and I had 70 people on it, I would be delighted. So are we that little church kind of hidden in a neighborhood with only about 70 on a Sunday? Or are we 70 people who know what it means to live in the kingdom of God and have the ability to go tell others about it, saying to them, the kingdom of God has drawn near? Now, we know that the number 70 is only an average. We've probably about 125 people who come and go in various times and vacations and illnesses and all of that. So how will we, 70, 80, 90, 100 of us. How will we go out and tell the world? How will they know that the kingdom of God has drawn near? We could publish articles about the need for them to turn their lives around, because we know that works every time. We could argue with them about their long-held fundamental beliefs, because that works every time. We could shake our heads in dismissal and judgment when they don't agree with us. We could describe hell to them. We could tell them the alternate to Jesus is this. Make a choice. Actually, we could just show them Jesus. And when we do that, we will need to serve them. We will need to love them. And while we are loving and serving, and after we have established relationships, we can tell them that we do this because we love Jesus. And this is who Jesus is, and it's what Jesus calls us to do, and it makes life pure and good. In the loving and serving of our neighbors, the kingdom of God draws near. Now, if we go and show the world what the kingdom of God looks and feels like in order that our 70 might become 71, we will have missed the point. Those 70 didn't bring people back to Jesus. They left them where they were to go and tell more people that the kingdom of God has drawn near. The people who learned of the beauty of the kingdom, they stayed where they were, they developed more relationships, and hopefully they spread this news. And this kingdom work, it just doesn't handle accounting very well. It just doesn't fit well on a ledger with columns and pluses and minuses. Church membership does. Every year we have to fill out something for the synod office that says how many baptized, how many died, how many joined. How many members have we got? That's all ledger stuff. It fits on a sheet of paper in some columns, and at the end you get a number. And here's what does not fit on the ledger. When someone you know who wants nothing to do with the church and has heard of this Jesus and has seen a distorted version of him in the world and wants nothing to do with it, watches your life, and begins to wonder in just the tiniest of ways about the church and about Jesus. When a stranger in a hospital elevator sees my collar and says, "I have no idea what I believe, but I'm scared, and will you pray for my sister?" And we pray, and then I never see that person again, and 70 does not become 71. Emmanuel Lutheran might not grow that way. It might grow that way, but that's not actually the commission. The Great Commission is love. Numbers are not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is relationship and service and sacrifice. And right now, 57 of us, 56 of us, are going to tell someone that we love that the kingdom of God is at hand. You cannot know the reach of what you're about to do with me, but please just trust me that the next 2 minutes of your ministry and this lifetime of yours will bear important fruit in the world far beyond what you can imagine. Our sister Billy is very sick. Her children are very sad. She misses you terribly. She fell in January 2.5 years ago and hasn't been back to church. I think maybe she was here once. She's been in infections and having heart issues and bones breaking and has not been able to be a part of this congregation in the ways that she always was. So, And she today cannot have you visit her because she's infected with C. diff. So today we're going to make a video of us singing Amazing Grace for Billy.